Blog Talk Radio.
Every single day, something's gonna come your way, good or bad. No need to hang your head. Gotta make a move instead. Don't be mad. There's always a way to get everything to positive in your life. Nothing can stop you now. That's the way we live now.
Anything, we'd like to thank our family and supporters for their tangible support to this vision. We never take it lightly, the power to inspire, the power to influence and empower. And as you receive do-gooders, you know what you got to do. You have to pay it forward. So we are excited to get into this conversation. I've been waiting for this moment all day long. I don't know about you, Adiaga, but I've been waiting for it today.
So, listen, first of all, we want to say Happy New Year, do-gooders.
Happy New Year,
oh, my
everybody.
Gosh. This is our first podcast for the new year. I remember when we started way back when, and here we are a full year later. I'm just so excited about what we got in store. But before all of that, what's good, Shay?
Well, let's talk about it. So, you know, new year, new experiences.
Yeah.
New opportunities.
All right.
You know, I'm ready and open for it all. This last week, it was about rest and rejuvenation. I got to, you know, just kind of relax and get up when I wanted to, and that was a great feeling. But I also, you know, use the time to really reflect and on the year and, you know, the ups and the downs, the highs, the lows, and just really look at 2016 for what it was, which was really an amazing experience. And, you know, a lot of times we focus on, you know, what didn't happen or what we didn't, you know, accomplish or what we didn't walk away from, you know, what we didn't gain. And, you know, I definitely, you know, thought about those things. But, you know, as a do-gooder, I spent a lot of my time looking at what presents itself as space and opportunity, and what presented itself last year as the space and opportunity, and how those things are moving forward into 2017. So my space and opportunity for 2017, what do I want to make space for? I definitely want to make space for learning new things. You know, I work in a very, very diverse community in East Harlem, and a lot of my students are of Latino descent. So I definitely want to make space to learn or, you know, kind of brush up on my Spanish so I can talk to their parents, so I'm not always looking for another teacher.
But wait a minute, Shay. I thought that, forgive me if I'm mistaken. I thought that you said that you wanted to make room for love.
I do want to make room. Yes, that's on my list, too. I was working.
I don't know if I want to make room for love. I want to make room for work. Because, you know, love hasn't really gotten me that far. But, you know, work has its results, honey. I see the payoff.
with love and the investment in that, honey, it's 50-50. I'm not really sure if I'm going to get anything back. But that work, huh, I see it paid in full in my account. I don't know about 2017. It's about work.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I'm really not cynical about love, but I you have to learn. You have to learn. And I've learned. I've learned.
And
moving on.
And Adi, you are hilarious. I mean, I think last year, and you can attest to this, I spent a lot of time working. And I didn't, you know, I felt accomplished, but I didn't feel fulfilled.
I understand.
You know, and
but there's a time and a season for that. Like, so because
right.
of that experience, now you're focusing your energies in 2017 on what you may have felt was lacking. So I get it. I'm
right.
kind of like, so we're on the flip side of each other for this year.
Okay, got it. Right. So you're making space and you're making space for work so that the opportunities
creativity.
Present themselves.
And right, you know, I'm pouring, I'm investing into myself. I want to see some of my idea, more of my ideas take flight as they have in the past. I like the feeling that I get when I put my mind to something creative or something. You know, it's almost like you're watering a seed and you see it blossom and grow. I like that feeling. And you know, hey, if the love comes in the mist, then it comes in the mist. But what Adiago will be doing is walking on. Do good and listen. I don't need any emails or calls from y'all telling me that I need, you know, some therapy. I'm good. I'm very clear on where I am in life.
Right. And that's what I always appreciate about you is that, you know, you are very clear on, you know, the things that you want and in the season in which you are ready to, you know, put the plow to the ground and work. I guess I had my head kind of buried in the sand for a little bit. You know, now that it's out, I'm looking around and I'm just like, oh, okay. All right. Well, here we go. You know, so I'm definitely, you know, there's a lot of things that I want to make space for the opportunities to present themselves. And, you know, definitely, you know, academic-wise, I want to make some space to, you know, build on some things. And then, you know, I do want to make time for love. I do want to, you know, have opportunities to experience it, you know, because how else am I going to, you know, reach my goal, Adiaga, if I don't make space and opportunity for it?
I understand, you know, and I'm going to pray about it for you, you know, because... Because you know, dreams do come true, and I want you to have that because you so deserve that, and you know, I wish I could be on that you know, that vibrational energy with you, but I just think that, you know, 2017 has called me to do other things. I don't know. I could just be stubborn in my own way. I may be putting up a wall. I may be in my own way, but maybe I'm just protecting myself. I don't know. I just want to be successful, Shay. I just want to be successful, and I think that when I put my time towards that, it doesn't lead me to success. So it's like, you know, fall back put your hand on the plow. Put your hand to the plow on what's working instead of, you know, watering flowers that's not growing. I'm tired of tending to these weeping willows, and I'm waiting for them to blossom into, you know.
Oh,
I can't, it's just too much.
Do good
as
if you do send Adiaga an email. Send her an email of support and upliftment because.
I'm sorry, but you know what? I'm inspired because I do know some people. I know some people that have made love and work. And, you know, do good if you're here, you know, put your ears to the speakers because we have some wonderful guests on our show today. And I just, you know, I'm just so excited to have them on because I've just been binge watching them and
yes.
I just need more. I need more. I need
yes.
more. So, comrades in business and in love, we welcome
our featured guests, writer, producer, and director duo Caleb Davis and Ronnie Simpson of the 3-time award nominated web series Tough Love. In addition to the fiercely talented and strikingly beautiful actresses Ebony Obsidian and Verena Banks, best known for their roles as Alicia Davis and Jordan Samuels. Welcome to the Good Life. Let's do a roll call. So I have Ronnie and Caleb online. Say what's good.
Hey,
what's good?
And it's Ebony and Verena there. Say what's good, ladies.
Hey, what's up?
All right, everybody's here.
Hey, Marina.
Everybody is here. Okay, we're just going to get right into it. We are just delighted to have you with us tonight because, you know, when we talk about promoting a commitment to a lifestyle of resourcefulness on our show in particular, it's because it's really about becoming an active participant in your own life and finding or creating a space and opportunity for yourself with your gifts and bringing others along with you for the journey. Now, either Ronnie or Caleb can answer this question. How were you able to identify those gifts early on, in addition to, you know, putting together an ensemble that so seamlessly carries out your vision from the page to the screen?
All right. I'm sorry. Can you repeat the question? How are we able to identify?
Are you able to identify your gifts early on in your life, and in addition to putting together such a wonderful ensemble that's able to carry out your vision, your writing vision, to the screen?
Oh, thank you. First and foremost,
congratulations. We see that this is the second year premiere here, so congratulations to you guys.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
That was a really good question for myself and Ronnie. You know, we've always been in like the communication, in the whole environment of communication. We graduated with our bachelor's in communication, so we always okay with people. So Ronnie was always a good creative writer, and I was always the man behind the camera putting together visuals or, you know, building campaigns. So, you know, early on in life, you know, me personally, like, I just always wanted to create something no matter what it was. And, you know, till today with Tough Love, which is our most recent creation, we can utilize our talents and our skill sets.
Yeah, and for me it was more so just finding different ways to express myself. And one of the ways I found to do that very early on was through my writing. So that was just one of my gifts I discovered. And I began with writing poetry, and then I just grew more and more into, like, the nonfiction space as my interest grew more into love and relationships and dating. And then I just connected my interests with what my God-given gift was.
And you've been so successful at it. Now, I'm sure you've been listening in on my take on love, and I need some encouragement. But when we examine, you know, black love and this concept of black love still existing, you know, it's such an irony about watching these 6 millennials that you've developed, you know, balance and or survive their choices in love and career and you know, interpersonal relationships with New York as a backdrop, all the while knowing that you both as a couple and creators of the show are in the midst of that same balancing act. What has contributed to your current success as a co-creative team?
These are really good questions.
Our current success, you know what? Work and time and patience with each other. You know, we've hit some roadblocks, but we've been working together since college. We started creating projects together. We created the first digital news program on our campus in college, and we had to learn to work together with each other on that and also work on, you know, team building. So I would say it's mainly time, prayer, patience,
And also my concept to it is like, you know, we don't have any children. We've been together for, you know, almost close to a decade, and we don't have any children, and you know, now she's my fiance, so.
Congratulations!
Yeah, Black love still exists.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it. But yeah, like this is our child and this is our baby. So, you know, again, we always have disagreements, you know, but we have to figure out what's the best way to progress tough love as our baby, as the project for, you know, future when we have kids, you know, we know how to, you know, communicate with one another.
Oh, this is, you know, I know you mentioned this as your baby, but honey, this baby is really not a baby. It has it is walking, it is talking, it is feeding itself, because you have such a large viewership, you know. And so, you know, just thinking about, you know, I was really thinking about what was experienced, much like what was experienced during the Harlem Renaissance, with, you know, such an explosion of you know, music and literary works, you know, that was pretty much rooted in Black cultural identity. You know, one could argue that within the last 4 years, it consisted of a similar paradigm shift, to where there's been a reconsideration of what was previously viewed as viable within the, you know, medium of cinema, television, and new media. And it really centers, I would say, on the question of whether there is marketability and applicability of the Black experience in its ability to generate a broad viewership. Where do you think, and all anyone can answer this, from Ebony, Verena, to any one of you, where does tough love fit, or where do you think tough love fits within this new paradigm shift?
That's a really good question,
We do our work here. We do our work on the good life.
Yes, you do, Adiaga. Yes, you do. Honestly, I just want to chime in real quick and say that I have had a lot of people approach me about tough love, all the characters included, people who are not Black who get it, which is really, I think, a beautiful thing, because this is absolutely, you know, the Black experience. But all the things that each character is going through is just like a human experience. And that's kind of the most important thing, I think. Like, we haven't really been able to express ourselves in the way that we want to as people who go through the same type of things that any other race goes through, you know, with our own, you know, twist to it and whatnot. So I think it's a really beautiful thing that, right now, I think people are just open to seeing things that are not them, but are them. I don't know if that makes perfect sense, but
No, it does.
Hey,
Ev.
Hey, V. What's up?
Hey, guys. No, I think what Ev just said makes total sense, because yeah, people relate on a human level. You know what I mean? Like, if you're open to it, you definitely can relate on a human level. And it's the same for me. Like, I've had people approach me that are not Black at all, and they totally understand. And, you know, I have friends who are not Black, and they totally understand Jordan's disposition or Ebony's disposition. So, if anything, it's just that we're storytellers of color, and we're telling a story that is true, that's based in love, that is not ratchet, and it's real life, you know. So I think people can just relate to that.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Right. I totally agree with that. And also, as far as just like where tough love fits, as far as this like new uprising of, we're still figuring that out. We're mm-hmm. like, as you said, we're really excited about the growth, the development, the viewership, and we're excited to just be able to create our own content and put out our own stories, because we haven't seen our own stories on television for a very long time. And mm-hmm. so now it's in everyone's face, and it's like, we're here, people enjoy it, so let's take it further and let's get this on bigger screens, you know, and we're demanding that attention, and we're really excited about just everyone's acceptance of it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm excited for you. And you know, we've seen, you know, hashtags Black Girl Magic and I believe, you know, more recently with, what's his name, Chance the Rapper made hashtag Black Boy Joy something real. And I feel like it's in an effort, I would say, to, I don't know, I think maybe it's in an effort to insert new imagery, you know, within the American landscape of the Black experience. So how does Tough Love with your hashtag Black Love Exist see itself within those efforts?
So Black Love Exists, it initially started, that was an Instagram account I created to highlight Black couples and Black relationships. Because, you know, a lot of people don't believe, you know, positive Black relationships are out there. You see a lot of negativity, you know, about love and relationships being promoted online and people talking about side chicks and stuff like that. And so I was like, you know it's out there, but you're not seeing it be promoted and highlighted. And so that's right. Why I originally created that account to highlight that. And, you know, I'm in a Black relationship that's very positive, and so I wanted to put that out there as well. And so once Black Love Exists reached 10,000 followers, that's when I was like, let's create a web series, and, you know, that can appeal to people because they love seeing Black relationships. So let's show it.
Yes.
Now the relationships in the series may not be that positive, but it's showing the journey that, you know, people are on different levels in the relationship and different journeys they go on and the relationships that they may have to leave in the past, and the relationships that are worth working for and fighting for. And that's just really what we want to continue to showcase.
Awesome.
Wonderful.
So, speaking of journeys, the show has a dynamic and creative way of introducing the current issues that we all experience in the midst of each episode. Were there any topics that the cast or crew were apprehensive about approaching? And that question's for anyone who wants to answer.
Ladies.
About approaching.
Wait, I'm sorry. I'm over here killing this popcorn. What was the question?
Were there any topics that you all have covered that you all may have been apprehensive about approaching?
Oh, man. You know what? The Cosby issue I was apprehensive about.
Oh, man.
You know, that man, he raised so many of us. You know what I mean? So that one was... That one was rough. And Jordan, the main one.
Go ahead, instigating it, right?
No.
I read this script and I'm like, damn, we about to go here, huh? Okay.
Oh, my goodness.
I think, honestly, in general, like, just the whole character of Alicia, I was a little bit apprehensive with approaching, because she's very different than any other character I've ever had to take on, especially within her relationship with Quincy. And like, right now, I'm sure you guys have seen, because you're all caught up, y'all did your homework like nobody's business. But a lot of people have a lot of opinions on that whole, you know, dynamic between Quincy and Alicia and who's right and who's wrong in these last couple of episodes. And I think for me, like, just approaching Alicia, the type of woman that she is, we're similar in a lot of ways, but we're also very different. So I think for me, like, the relationship between Quincy and Alicia, I'll be honest, I was a bit nervous to take on.
Why?
About Alicia, wait, I just have to interject real quick, Shay. I have to say something about Alicia's character. I need her to stop crying and boss up.
Okay, so you see what I'm saying, Ariadne? That's what I'm saying.
Oh, no, that's what you're talking about. Okay.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
I need her to boss up and get this business together or create a new one and stop begging and pleading and begging and pleading and get this business up off the ground.
But you know what? You know what I think is really great about that is in the whole show is like, even though the relationships are not perfect, like one big lesson that I took away from just being a part of the show was like, love is like, it is a journey. Like, it's not supposed to be perfect. Yeah. If you guys don't run into any obstacles, you're not really learning anything about the other person at all.
Come on.
I mean, because no, right. I honestly, I will say before the show, I thought relationships would be a little bit easier. And then I was, and then, you know, as I kind of got into it and even into season two, I'm like, oh, actually, you know, you kind of do have to go through that to figure out what love is, period.
Mm.
That's true. That's true. But at my age, I kind of just want to ease on down the road.
Adiaga, I'm going to have to disagree with you on that. I feel that, you know, her vulnerability is refreshing.
Okay.
I do. Because I'm
vulnerable. I agree with that. I totally agree with that. I feel what
it's brave. It is brave.
It's beautiful to watch because it's like you two really love each other. You know what I mean? Like that's true. You're not going to just walk away because you really love them. So it's like, what's up, bruh? Like, what's
That's what I've been saying since season one. What's up, bro? Like, I'm trying to figure it out. Like,
what's
up?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's definitely been asking her for a very long time.
I think especially each one of the girls this season is a really refreshing vulnerability to each one of the female characters specifically.
Right.
Like
right.
Jordan's character, Monica's character, everybody's kind of just opening up, I feel like, this season. Now we're kind of getting to the meat of who each person is.
Awesome. So speaking of Alicia and Jordan, Ebony and Verena, what do you do to prepare for each episode? Because these ladies are multidimensional, they're fragmented, and they're very complex. So what do you do? Ebony, you kind of spoke on that, but I wanted to dig a little bit deeper. What do you do to prepare for each episode?
You mean in terms of when we shot it?
In terms
or when
of,
we're watching it? Or
well, your character and preparing for that particular episode, because as you said, Ebony, you and Alicia are two completely different people. So what do you do in order to prepare to, you know, become Alicia?
I for me, honestly, I think luckily we're not so different that I didn't have any type of platform to kind of like harp on. I definitely think some of her experiences I have gone through myself. And I think I handle a lot of things differently than she is and has handled things. But just kind of being able to understand where she's coming from, because I mean, I'm sure Ronnie could speak on this too. I bombard Ronnie with questions about Alicia, like from day one, like,
yes,
wow,
she
but
does.
Why, like, you know, just trying to understand certain things. For me, I've really had to just open my mind to the fact that everybody reacts differently in the same situation. It's so easy to speak on a situation when you're not in it and you've never been in it. And then it's a whole other thing to speak on a situation. Like, for example, this last episode, episode three, right before actually I got on the phone with you guys right now, I was just talking to my best friend and she was like, what? Like that hallway scene, the stairwell scene. Like, she's like, what? Like, She's pulling up old stuff like, wait, were you thinking about this when you did that thing? I'm like, no, not at all. But, like, I just get what she was feeling in that. You know what I'm saying? You could just there's a lot of emotion between Quincy and Alicia, a lot of things that they don't ever get to say to each other, I feel like. And it's the thing that they don't say to each other that kind of like, brew and kind of make them what they are to each other. I hope that was a good explanation.
No, that was excellent. And you know, you can tell that they have so much to say to each other, but
it's,
you know, everyone's being bullheaded and not wanting to, you know, submit. It's a wonderful dynamic. Verena, how do you prepare to be Jordan? Because Jordan's probably my favorite.
I'm surprised you would say that, Shay. Because she's not here for the love.
Not right at all. Like, And that's what's so funny, because my views are so opposite of her. But I would say I do a lot of writing. So when we get the script, I read the script, reread the script, reread it. And then I write a lot just to figure out kind of where I, Verena, meet Jordan, the character. And then I think I kind of have to give myself permission to just go ham, because she goes ham. Like, she does not care. You know what I mean? And, like, there's been a bunch of times where, like, we're on set and, you know, Caleb's like, or Ronnie's like, I need more Jordan. Like, this needs to be more Jordan. Because you have to, like, I know for, I personally had to give myself permission to be, like, hardcore. You know what I mean? Because some of the things she does is, like, super hardcore, where I wouldn't do that because I'm just a little, you know, you feel like you have to explain yourself, but she's just like, I'm not explaining nothing to you. Like, I'm not here for you. You know what I mean? Like, and you just kind of have to, and we all have that within ourselves where we just want to boss up and be like that, but she's, that's just who she is. She's just a boss 100% of the time. And it's just like, I know I have to give myself permission to be that way to whomever it is I'm talking to.
Mm-hmm.
And then just, like, know I'm having fun, because she's a lot of fun to play, too. So it's just, you know, it's like, just have fun with this. You know what I mean? Like, just have a lot of fun. And then, like, the more fun I have, the easier it is. Like, if I look at it like that, as opposed to, like, damn, she's kind of harsh in this. Like, it's, you know, instead of judging her, just have fun and do it. That's what I do. But it's really just a lot of writing and reading. To kind of get her perspective on things and then kind of see where I meet her.
Okay.
I agree. No judgment. That's a perfect way to, like, sum it up. No judgment. Cause,
yeah, you can't judge it.
Yeah.
Because
mm-hmm.
right. If you judge, it'll definitely just come out. If you judge your character.
Yeah, because it's not you. So that's the biggest thing is, like, it's not. It might be a reflection of a part of you, but it's not you. Like,
mm-hmm.
right.
Totally agree.
Yeah,
so
and I
it?
Mean,
oh, I'm
I
sorry,
love her. She's like the ultimate homegirl, as opposed to how
yeah,
I feel. Like,
she is.
She's like,
yeah, she is.
She's like the big homie.
Yeah, I'd love to hang out with Jordan. Mm-hmm. So what have the two of you learned from playing Alicia and Jordan that you have been able to apply how you navigate yourself in this world, whether professionally or personally? So I know you said that, you know, there's a piece of both of those characters inside of you. So how do you use that to navigate in the world?
That's a good question. Jordan actually taught me to be way more decisive, way more. Like, she taught me to just be, because a lot of times I can be so in my head and you might, like, overthink some things, and if it doesn't feel right, you're like, oh, you give it too much thought, or even if it feels good. And she's just like, I know what I want, this is what I want, I'm executing this shit, you're not going to tell me nothing else about it. And it's, you know, but it's she honestly helped me with that, because I'm the opposite when it comes to that. I'm so in the middle, and I can see so many different points of views, and, you know, I can let what I just saw last week influence what I'm thinking right now. Like, maybe this could be the issue. Da-da-da. Instead of just like, no, this is what I'm doing, and that's what it is. Like, I don't care what you have to say. I don't care what you got to think about it. This is what I'm doing. And if you got a problem with it, you can get off the train. Peace. Like, that's her personality, which
right.
is, I think, is just dope. And it really helped me to become way more decisive with things.
Awesome.
Mm. I think Alicia left me, like, honestly, between each season, I felt like I had to get, like, less vulnerable. Like, I left each season, like, feeling hella vulnerable. Like, I feel like Alicia told me, no, I'm being serious, because, like, y'all know me. Ronnie, Caleb, y'all know me. Stop. I feel like, she just told me to be, like Verena was saying, like, allow yourself to kind of just feel. Like, just allow yourself to be vulnerable. No judgment. And I feel like I got so, you know, deep in that head that it kind of, you know, it takes a while to kind of shake a character off, like, to just, like,
yeah,
little like tendencies that they do, and like just the way that the mind is working. So I think
yeah.
for me, which is, and it's not bad to be vulnerable at all. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it was very much so new for me to feel that way and to carry it with me. I think because it was my first series, so it was the longest time I ever spent with one person, one character. It really did kind of latch on to me. And even now, like, I find myself in situations where I'm like, I do kind of approach things a little bit more different in a way of like, okay, well, what is this person thinking? Like, I'm not always just thinking about my point of view and how I feel about it and what I want to be accomplished from whatever. It's like, Alicia is somebody who cares so much more about the people in her life than she does herself a lot of the time. And I think there's nothing wrong with that, but, you know, sometimes not always the best thing, of course. But so that's kind of what I brought from Alicia.
That's so funny that the opposite is what happened to us.
Yeah,
because
I mean, it makes sense.
I'm more of a person who's thinking about every perspective instead of like my own. I'm thinking of everything. Like, what would this person think? What does that person think? If this happens, who's this going to affect? And blah, 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 blah. Like, that's
right.
Normally how I think. And then Jordan's like, I don't give a rat's ass with none.
Yeah, see, that's hard for me. It's hard for me to think about what everybody else is, like, where their heads is at. I feel like it's a lot of work a lot of times. I don't do it.
It is
but
a
should.
Lot of work.
Sometimes you
work.
Should do it, yes.
I love it. So, Verena, you were recently nominated for Best Supporting Actress by the NYC Web Fest. How was that experience?
Girl, that's not my nomination. That's Ronnie and Caleb's. Like, that's how I look at that. That's, I mean, it's definitely flattering, and it's definitely... I don't even, honestly, certain things I just don't process. Like, that's something I have not processed. I was, like, the last person to even find out. Like, the crew was hitting me in a chat. Like, B hit me, like, yo, congrats. And Nat hit me, like, congrats. I'm like, congrats on what? Like, what? But then when I saw, you know, that's really Ronnie and Caleb. I mean, because, you know, that's the writing. That's the directing. I'm just, you know, that's not really how I look at it. But
she's being modest. She's being modest. She killed that role.
I'm serious, though. But, I mean, it's dope. Don't get me wrong, because, like, when you are so passionate and you have so much love for something, like your art, your craft, and for people to recognize it and be like, yo, that's dope. That is, you know, but.
She killed that role from day one when she came into the audition and she tried to read for Monica.
She's not Monica.
Yeah, she tried to read for Monica and then she read for Jordan. And I was like, can we see Jordan? And I was like, you're Jordan.
Right. Ronnie was like, no, you're Jordan. She's like, that's funny. You wanted to read for Monica though, but you're Jordan. I'm like, oh, okay. But no, it's definitely, I mean, I guess it's humbling. It's a humbling experience because it's like, wow, okay, for sure.
Oh, my goodness. And Ebony, I see that too. Yeah, most definitely. Congratulations on that. And also, congratulations to Ebony. I see that you, you know, flexed your writing chops on season 2, episode 2. So tell
us
about that.
Yes.
Yes.
How'd you
thanks
find your
to Ronnie.
Writing?
Thanks to Ronnie.
Yeah.
And y'all got the vocals.
Oh, God. Mm. Let's not get into that.
y'all know she has her tracks, right? Y'all know that's like an original piece.
Yes.
Oh, my God, Arena.
Oh, my goodness. So, I mean, how was that for you?
I'm trying to help y'all out.
So with the writing, for the bonus scene for episode 1, Ronnie had gotten in touch with me and said that she wanted to do another scene. So I had no idea that she was thinking of me writing it. I didn't at all. And then, I mean, Ronnie knows. We had a little conversation, and then she offered me to you know, to be able to just to kind of put my take on it within the realm of what her thoughts were. And I was writing before I was acting, not like screenwriting, but just I wanted to be a journalist. So I was always writing before him. And I kind of recently have been wanting to go, you know, more into the storytelling realm, obviously, being that I'm into acting. So it was, I mean, it was. I hope it came out nice. I mean, I saw it, but like, it's weird
of
to
course.
Like see that part of me. Like, I was in it, and I wrote. Like, it was definitely a new experience. But I'm glad it kind of is kickstarting some other stuff right now. So it's all good. I'm happy about it.
And definitely I salute Ronnie and Kayla, because that doesn't always happen where somebody says, yeah,
no.
I want to write second season. know, or the second
nope.
season. That doesn't really happen like that. And so for you to be able to kind of flex that muscle and do that with, she said as a baby, you babysitted the toddler. Because
I
said, it's already happened.
Yep.
It's already, you know, for her to give that over to you and to execute so beautifully, you know, salute. I salute all of you with regard to that. And I really want to find out. Congratulations. Thank you. I mean, thank you, because I'm really enjoying what I'm seeing so far. I mean, there are a lot of web series out there that I'm like, I'm fast forward, you know, but. This, I am in every episode. It really does draw you in. It really does, and I'm really excited to see where. Well, maybe you can tell us, for all the returners to the show that are watching, the viewers, what can we? I know we're already in season two, but I think we're in the third episode. What more can we expect from season two or any other? I'm sure you're going to have many more seasons. Are there any other things you're going to try to delve into more that we maybe didn't see in the previous season?
Yeah, like for season two, you guys are going to really get the opportunity to dive into these characters. As you saw that we shed light on Jackson, on, you know, why is Jackson, why is he this, you know, ladies man? How come he doesn't, you know, how come he has a fence over his heart? You know, we're going to go deeper into, you know, his relationship with his family and how that connects to his behavior in relationships. And we're going to, you know, we're going to keep diving into, you know, twists and turns. Like, I feel that right now on our hiatus, on our winter break hiatus, as soon as we go back into the second half of season two, it's going to be, you know, a lot of twists and turns. On our end, just like sitting back, watching these episodes before we put them out, I actually finally got the opportunity to actually be a fan. And my heart was a little uneasy about certain scenes. So, you know, get ready for, you know, a lot of twists and turns. Get ready for some emotional roller coasters. A little bit more about Jordan, looking into her experiences and past experiences. So, yeah, we have a lot more in store for the Tough Love fans out there.
Well, I'm excited also that you're going to delve a little bit more into Jackson, because ain't nobody feeling sorry for Jackson right now. And nobody feeling sorry for Darius either. I mean, no one's feeling sorry.
No.
No one can. Really. So I'm really excited to see where. Because I feel like, really, I truly believe, you know, Darius, from what I've seen thus far, pretty much, you know, he's stuck, and, you know, boo-hoo, so sad for him. But no one's crying for Darius. No one's crying for Jackson. But, you know, if you're going to give us some more, you know, layers as to why they are, you know, who they are, then maybe we'll be able to shed a tear. But it's not happening.
I don't
have
anything. We think we're going to get some tears from you about Jackson and Darius by the end of this season.
I don't know.
And I'm waiting for that. I'm sorry. I know I'm not interviewing, but I'm just curious. Like, I feel like the guys are getting no love right now, like Darius and Jackson specifically. Well, Quincy, we already know what his
Quincy,
situation is.
Oh, my gosh.
We're not going to even get into him. But, I mean, like, Jackson, we just started kind of getting into him, which I was really excited to see. And I feel like, you know, everybody's ready to give Jordan, like, a chance and, like, understand why she's the way she is, but not so much for Jackson. It's really interesting.
Right. That is
really interesting.
Because, you know, the reason why is because Jordan is coming from a deep-rooted, from what we know, she's coming from a deep-rooted place of hurt. So it's not that she doesn't want to. We don't know that Jackson, I mean, as far as I am concerned, I don't my knowledge, I don't know that Jackson has given over his heart before. The reason why I think there's such a sympathy for Jordan is because she was, you know, about to get married. She was ready to jump in with both feet and got burned, and so now she has these walls. Whereas we see Jackson kicking people out. 2 minutes later, someone's coming in. Like, he has a revolving door, and he doesn't care about whose feelings he's hurt. He's not giving any explanations. So there's such a hardness there and a heartlessness there. That's why, for me, I just feel like, you know, there's no tears. You know, I don't need Kleenex right now. But hopefully, you know, I can, you know, sympathize more with Jackson now. I do have a different take on Quincy. I do not think that Quincy loves Alicia.
No.
I do not think Quincy loves Alicia. I think Quincy
loves
the control he has. I think he is in love with having power and having a one-upmanship in a relationship. I think he likes that. And once that was kind of taken away from him, the love was gone. You see how easily he was able to walk away. I do not feel like he's in love with Alicia whatsoever.
Girl.
I think that Quincy is in love with Alicia. I just think
you
that
guys are like polar opposites. It's so
yes.
funny.
We are best friends from opposite ends. I think that he is in love with Alicia, but because of the behaviors of the good old boys that he's around, he has to feel as though he needs to put up this, you know, I don't need you anymore. It's going to be me and Big Apple, and, you know, I'm just going to do it all by myself, just me and the Get Fresh crew. And, I, you know, when the lights are out and he's alone by himself and he's not being a Tatiano, he really does think about, you know, Alicia, because it was very evident in season 2, Ariaga, when you know, she called him up and she said, you know, that she almost got accosted. He was, you know, very torn between his comments, and he was very, very much.
And then he hung up the phone and rolled over, or whatever. Somebody was already in the bed. I do not feel that his friends. You see what I'm saying? He moved on. I don't think that any of his friends made him feel any kind of way of loving Alicia made him feel like he had to be some kind of macho man. I don't think so. He was already sticking out his chest and puffing out his chest about how she's the only one, I'm the only one she's been with, and I'm the number one and the only one. He is enamored with that, being number one and being the only, honey. And when he found out he was not the only, he was gone. That's it. Some people love the power they have over you more than you. And I just think that Alicia is somebody he can control right now. But what she needs to get the wind beneath her wings and prove it to herself that she can stand alone and be okay, or move on with someone who's not so caught up
in
proven manhood. Yes.
Can I ask you a question?
You don't have to tell a man he's a man.
You don't think he's just dealing with his intense ego, possibly? Like, his ego is
sick.
Yes.
I feel that he is.
So it's just so sick. And it's
just
me watching it from the outside. When I'm watching it, I'm like, damn, Q, like, you just killing your relationship off.
I agree. Listen, I do. This is the thing. I never think it's healthy for women to be with men who always have to be coddled in that way. Like, maybe this is how I was raised. I don't feel like men who know they're men need to have somebody else make them feel like men. You'll just rightfully take your place. And he just needs too much hand holding to make me think that this relationship is healthy. I don't think it's healthy. I think she is.
Mm-hmm.
I think
right.
she's always having to diminish herself in order to make him feel as if he's something, and that's not an equal relationship, honey. She needs to run. She needs to run.
She needs to run. You're funny. I think also like the year that we're in, like, we're in 2017 now. Like, things are not what they used to be. Like, it's. This, I feel like, it's even hard for me to talk about this subject with the Alicia, to be honest, because I have so many thoughts. But I think just, like, he doesn't really take into account the time period that we're in right now. I think he's kind of stuck in his own thing. Like, I would love to see more about Quincy down the line, like, where he's from and, like, literally, like, how he grew up,
who was in his household.
Right.
Like, was there a man in his household? Like, I just, I'm always curious about stuff like that. I'm not, like, justifying any of the ways that he acts or even anything that Elisa does, but it's just, like, there's always reasons for why people do the things they do, and because
mm-hmm.
he feels so strongly about certain things, it makes me wonder where that comes from, because it comes from somewhere. So, you know, the whole double standard number, though, is crazy. That's crazy to me, though.
Everybody's actions is rooted in a place. That you are right. It does come from a place. No one just acts for no reason.
No, definitely not.
It is rooted, you know, in something like with also with oh gosh, please don't tell me I forgot her name. Monica and Darius. Monica and Darius. Monica. What do I feel about Monica? I think that Monica, she's mourning over, she thinks she's mourning over a loss, but she's really mourning over the man she wants to have instead of the man she has. And I think once she realizes what she's really dealing with, then she won't really be in mourning or feel like she has to go back to see if something. He is what he is. He's already shown you a million times. And I think a lot of times people stay in those relationships because they want this person to rise to the occasion, or they want them to be the person they once were, or they want them to be the person that they've imagined, but they're never looking directly at what they have. And I think once you accept what is, then it'll be easier for you, a little bit easier for you to move on to something healthier. But what do I know?
True.
I'm single.
But I love that about this because I think it just shows how women, we see potential in the men that we're attracted to.
That's a
and
hard
we
thing.
Kinda, we kind of hang on to that potential rather than looking at the reality of the situation, you know, and then recognizing what our worth is and demanding we are treated by our worth.
And that's the difference between Monica and Alicia and then Jordan, because Jordan has kind of, in my opinion, like just kind of shut off that part of her that says, like, just bet on the potential. Just always bet on the potential. Like, it'll come. Like, Monica and Alicia are similar in that way, that is what they do quite often since the very beginning.
Right.
Oh, yeah, you want to talk about something else Jordan taught me? That would be it.
Yeah.
I'm over potential. I want to see action. Okay?
Right.
You taught me that today.
So, everyone, what advice would you give fellow artists and actors of color pursuing a career in film and media, whether in front of the camera or behind the camera?
Practice. My biggest thing as creators is always practice the craft and collaborate with other people that are practicing, such as Tough Love. I call it, as a filmmaker, I call it the filmmaker mixtape, because it gives us the opportunity to practice, collaborate. As you see Ebony, you know, she is acting, but she also gets to put her pen down on paper and write episodes. She gets to, you know, utilize her vocal experience and create a whole track, you know, go to the studio with producers and just organize that. So she's practicing in that area, you know, on the road to perfection, you know, from even the people that we bring on to, you know, do, you know, small tasks such as, like, you know, small art direction or bringing in their clothing lines so we can do product placement. You know, they're practicing on how to do business. So, you know, I really, you know, send that out to everybody. Just practice their craft, collaborate, and have fun. Like, you know, that's the best part. Like, Tough Love was, like, it's tons of fun. Like, every time I would just walk through the streets of New York, I'm just like, man, like, we, like, Tough Love, we had fun when we were making this. So that's my advice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
my advice
is
we do. We have a lot of fun. And my advice is similar. It's just do it. You know, everybody is, like, out here saying, I'm an aspiring this, I'm an aspiring that, and it's just getting out there doing it. A lot of people give us credit, like, you guys wanted us to put together a show and you just did it. And it's a lot of work, a lot of hard work, nonstop, but like you said, we're really enjoying it, and, like, we're not letting, like, oh, we don't have a network deal, we don't have a big crew, we don't have a big budget. We're not letting any of that get in our way. We're going to make it happen no matter what, no matter, you know, how hard it is, or no matter, like, how many hours of sleep we lose.
Yeah, big props to Caleb on that one, because he was up the whole summer, basically. He was
seriously. Wow. Well, that's, you know, we talk about being go-getters. You guys, thank you so much. It was a pleasure having you on. You are officially do-gooders.
Yay. Thank you so much.
Please let our listeners know, before we go, please let our listeners know real quick how they can view, watch Tough Love, and where they can find you on social media. Real quick.
You guys can catch us on youtube.com/the Tough Love Series, and you can catch us also on Instagram at instagram.com/the Tough Love Series, and also Twitter, Tough Love Online. So those are three outlets that you guys can reach us. Also, we want to send, you know, to, you know, the good life and do-gooders, we have an event coming, Valentine's Day. We're going to put that out there. We want to see you guys out. Just stay tuned to our Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you. I will be there with my bells and whistles on, honey. Maybe I'll find love eventually. Thank you so much for being on. It was a pleasure speaking with you, and we'll be tuning in because I'm hooked.
Aww.
Definitely.
Thank you.
Thanks for support, girl.
All right. Well,
thanks,
Shay, that was lovely. I'm feeling so good right now. I'm really feeling good about, you know, this whole topic of space and opportunity. And, you know, I feel like I'm going to continue on with, you know, all the conversation that we had with regard to just stepping out and not being afraid. I think I learned something today. I really think I learned something. So maybe I'll give love another chance for 2017. A little bit of a chance. So determined to be a do-gooder, put that goal in sight, and go open other doors for yourself and ultimately others. Remember, whatever you want in life, you can have it. I do good as I go get it. So get up and go get it. Thank you, Tough Love Series.